Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, who testified Tuesday before a Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Taking Back Our Democracy, Responding to Citizens United and the Rise of Super PACs. We will discuss his testimony, in which he said that we are well on our way to seeing our great country move towards an oligarchic form of government. Then we'll examine the unprecedented melting of the Greenland ice sheet with climate scientist Thomas Moat, who has been using satellite imagery to study ice changes in Greenland for the past 20 years. We will discuss this phenomenon in the overall context of climate change, where receding glaciers and a Grand Canyon-sized rift from speeding ice melt in Antarctic, plus record droughts and floods, indicate that something is amiss. Then finally, we will speak with Timothy Snyder, professor of history at Yale, who spoke yesterday at the Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C., along with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and other foreign policy experts about ways to avert future genocides. We will discuss how climate change and resource crises will cause ecological panic that will lead to mass killings in the decades to come. Joining us now is Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator Sanders was elected to the United States Senate in 2006 after serving 16 years in the House of Representatives. He is the longest-serving independent member of Congress in American history. On Tuesday, he testified before the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Human Rights on Taking Back Our Democracy, Responding to Citizens United and the Rise of the Super PACs. Welcome to Background Briefing, Senator Sanders.
Good to be with you.
And I must say that I think that for all of our history of the great American Revolution and being a democratic model to the rest of the world, as you watch this year unfold, one of the things I find just absolutely extraordinary is that American citizens who are registered voters and who particularly want to vote Democratic have to jump through hoops to prove who they are, whereas billionaires who are essentially buying the elections for the Republicans don't have to identify who they are.
Well, I think that's a very important and perceptive thought. What we are seeing in America today economically is a movement toward oligarchy in the sense of fewer and fewer people owning more and more of our country, the United States having the worst distribution of wealth and income of any major country on earth, and worse than at any time since the Great Depression. Politically, what we're seeing is two things. Number one, with this disastrous Citizens United decision, the door is now wide open for billionaires to contribute as much money as they want into the political process, often in secret. And second of all, what our Republican friends are doing in many of their states is they are making it harder and harder for lower-income people or older people to vote by requiring onus of voter identification requirements. And you add that together on one hand, as you've just indicated, the doors are wide open for billionaires to contribute. On the other hand, the doors are closing for people to participate in the political process. Add that all together, and I think you have a very sad day for American democratic traditions.
But it's worse in the sense that billionaires don't have to disclose who they are. And what
right.
troubles a lot of people is that these 501c4s that don't require the identification of the donor could mean that corporate America could be pouring money in. And we know that from what happened in Minnesota, where Target put up some money for a very homophobic candidate, and there was a tremendous backlash, and Target were quickly apologetic. We know that corporations are nervous about identifying their
absolutely.
Political donations because either half their customers are Republican or half of them
right.
are Democrats.
No, absolutely. No question. Look, short term, what we need is something like a Disclose Act. And what a Disclose Act, which was on the floor of the Senate very recently, which did not receive any Republican votes, what the Disclose Act simply stated was that if you're going to contribute money into a political campaign of more than $10,000, you have to be identified. And I don't think that that is an unfair requirement. People have a right to know where money is coming from in the political process. The second part of the Disclose Act, which was dropped in an effort which didn't work to get Republican votes, would have said that if you're running a third-party ad, if you're a corporation running an ad, you have to have the CEO of the company on the TV screen as candidates do and say, I authorize this, I approve this ad. That's what I would have to do as a candidate if I ran a TV ad. And we said, hey, let the CEOs of large corporations be on the television doing that as well, for exactly the reason that you gave. And that is, if a big corporation wants to get involved in the political process, let the American people know that. And let them know, let them think twice about whether or not they want to purchase that product. And I think that many CEOs would have said, you know what, we're not going to get involved in the political process. Short term, we need to pass a Disclose Act which has those components. Longer term, in my view, we need to overturn Citizens United, which is why I and several other members of the Senate and others in the House have introduced constitutional amendments to do just that.
And that was a hearing chaired yesterday by Dick Durbin, along with Senator Udall and Max Baucus and Congresswoman Donna Edwards. You, Senator Bernie Sanders, you mentioned earlier, you said the country is moving towards an oligarchic government, but you gave some pretty damning evidence of the maldistribution of wealth. Today, the 400 wealthiest individuals own more wealth than the bottom half of America's 150 million people. One family, the Walton family of Walmart fame, with 89 billion, own more wealth than the bottom 40% of Americans, and today the top 1% own 40% of all wealth, and the bottom 40% of all Americans own just 0.3% of the wealth of the country. It's absolutely...
That's really extraordinary, isn't it?
It's amazing.
And we don't talk about it. I mean, for fairly obvious reasons, we don't talk about the fact that economically the billionaires are, you know, just own a lion's share of this nation. The fact that one family, the Walton family from Walmart, owns more wealth than the bottom 40% of families in America is really quite extraordinary. And what the reason why Citizens United is so important in terms of this discussion is that what these billionaires are doing is not just sitting on their money, they're not putting it under the mattress. We also pointed out in my testimony that, you know, it's not just the Koch brothers or Sheldon Adelson who are making major contributions. 25 billionaires have contributed at least, up to this point, $250,000 into the political process in this campaign. And that's a conservative number because, as we talked about earlier, there's a lot of secret contributions going on. But we know at least 25 billionaires who have contributed $250,000. So what's happening is the very wealthiest people in this country who already own a lion's share of the wealth, who are already earning a lion's share of the income in this country, are saying, that's not enough. We want even more. And we're going to buy the United States government in the process. And if you think about it from an economic point of view, it's not a bad investment. You know, you can own a coal company, you can own an oil company, you can own parts of Wall Street. But owning the United States government for a few $100 million or having significant control over the United States government, that is a pretty good investment. And that's the way these guys see it, and that's exactly what they're doing.
So in other words, you own it, you own the government for essentially chump change.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you were worth $50 billion, if you had major investments in coal, oil, or financial institutions, whatever it may be, putting a few $100 million into the political process so you have a significant control, say, of the Republican Party, man, that is a very good investment. I mean, one little tax break will earn you that back in spades.
So, Senator Bernie Sanders, I believe that on your, is it your website where you can get a list of these 25 billionaire families?
Yes. Yep, it's on
sanders.senate.gov.
Yeah.
Sanders.senate.gov, and it's fairly easy to find.
We've installed 25 of them, and, you know, at the top of the list is, you know, the Koch brothers, of course, and Sheldon Adelson, but there are 23 others as well that we know of.
So, Senator Sanders, when Senator Durbin acknowledged at the hearing that you testified at yesterday before the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Human Rights, he said that amending the Constitution would be an uphill battle and it may take years. That, of course, is the bar that the Founding Fathers set. My understanding is that, what is it, two-thirds of the legislatures in the country have to pass the vote by two-thirds? Is that the bar?
Right, and then you got three-quarters of the states.
Three-quarters of the states. So two-thirds of the legislature, three-quarters of the states.
That's a pretty high bar, and it's not going to become, it's not easy. But, you know, we have, obviously, as everybody knows, passed major constitutional amendments, and I think what we're beginning to see in is we have six states already, including the state of Vermont, that have gone forward in saying that they would like to see that. They would like a constitutional amendment to come to them. We've got, I believe, hundreds of cities and towns, many in Vermont, I think Los Angeles, New York City, and others have also made that statement. So I think you're seeing, and yesterday, actually, at the hearing, we had petitions coming from, I believe, 1.9 million Americans who want to see Citizens United overturned. So I think what you're seeing out there is a very strong grassroots movement at the local level, at the state level, and at the national level, who are people who are understanding that this disastrous 5-4 Supreme Court decision of 2 years ago is a major step backwards in the struggle for America, for democracy in our country.
And Senator Udall, that spoke with you, said America's right to free speech is now determined by their net worth. Elections become more about the quality of cash and less about the quality of ideas. And there was a panel that followed you with the Governor Buddy Romer, who I invited out to speak at the forum I do at UCLA. He's a very, very powerful speaker, and he's lived it, hasn't he? He tried to run for for president of the United States and couldn't even get into the debates because he set a bar at a limit of $100. It just shows you how the game is rigged. But very few, I believe very few Republican senators showed up, if none at all, right?
When I was there, I did not see any, and I don't believe any showed up.
Right. And then there was a representative that Senator Lindsey Graham brought in from the Cato Institute, right?
Yes, I think somebody did testify.
And well, I believe that Senator Whitehouse, talking with the defender of Citizens United from the Cato Institute, talked about a Marine who lost his legs in Afghanistan, who he was talking to on the way to the hearing. And if the U.S. can ask a Marine to go to Afghanistan and lose his legs, said Senator Whitehouse, we can ask the Koch brothers to disclose their contributions and deal with some impolite blogging. Again, it gets back to this extraordinary disconnect, this breathtaking hypocrisy that the billionaires don't have to disclose who they are and how much money they're giving, but average citizens, including those that fight and die for the United States or lose their legs, they're getting essentially hassled.
Yeah. Well, look, the bottom line here, I think it's not very complicated to understand, is that the hypocrisy comes from the fact that for many years, many Republicans, not all, opposed any form of campaign finance reform. And their mantra was, we don't need campaign finance reform if we have disclosure. You know, let the people know who's contributing money, and we don't need any kinds of regulations. That's been their line until now. And now what they're saying is, we don't want any disclosure at all. And they come up with really kind of crazy reasons as to why that they believe that. But the real political bottom line here is the Republicans understand that Citizens United is working very, very well for them. Mitch McConnell, in the Citizens United case, who's leader of the Senate Republican Party, was offered a friend of the court paper on that. He supported it very strongly. And now what's happening is Republicans are bringing in huge amounts of money from some of the wealthiest people in this country, flooding the airways all over the country, and they like it. They like it. And we can't get one of them to say that at the very least, I mean, obviously we've got to go a lot further than that, but we can't get one Republican to say that when you're going to contribute huge amounts of money, you at least have to tell the American people who you are.
Well, just in closing, Senator Sanders, it's not just Citizens United, though. The underlying money equals voting comes from Buckley v. Valeo. So just give us a sense of the actual constitutional amendment itself. So that imagine.
Most importantly, what it says is, first of all, a corporation is not a person. And second of all, what it says is that in practical terms, of course, the United States Congress and state legislatures do have the right to regulate campaign spending. And those are the most important features in my constitutional amendment.
Well, I thank you very much, and I hope, I trust that we'll hear more of this. Obviously, this
is a huge issue, Ian, yeah. And I certainly hope that we hear a whole lot about it.
Well, this is going to require the citizens of the United States to push this through, and as you mentioned, it's happened before, so even though it's a high bar, it still can be met.
Yes, and it should be met. So we're going to work on this issue, and thanks very much for your interest in it.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator Sanders was elected to the United States Senate in 2006 after serving 16 years in the House of Representatives. He's the longest-serving independent member of Congress in American history, and on Tuesday he testified before the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Human Rights on taking back our democracy, responding to Citizens United, and the rise of the super PACs. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the melting of the Greenland glaciers.
Oh, the grocer, though we have fun, tax collectors getting closer, still we have fun. There's nothing surer, the rich get rich and the poor get poorer. In the meantime, in between time, ain't we got fun?